So I declare the meeting open at 1 minute past six for the Tuesday, the 16th of November, 2021. I'd like to ask us all to please be upstanding for the council prayer. Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. I would also like to acknowledge the Wangal people, who are the traditional custodians of this land, and pay my respect to their elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to other First Nations people who may be present. I just also advise that the council and council committees are audio recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparation of the meeting minutes and promoting public transparency. These are available under the provisions of the Government Information Act of 2009. I note there's one apology for Councillor Del Duca. So his apology be approved and leave be granted. It's been moved by Councillor Fernow-Cook, seconded by Councillor Dixit. Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Declarations of interest by councillors. I note there's no declarations of interest or declarations of political donations. No confirmations of minutes for the previous meetings, being moved by Councillor Fernow-Cook, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried. There's no speakers for any of the items this evening, and there's no speakers registered for open forum. And we'll go straight into the agenda. And I might start with my mayoral minute, which I might read considering it's the last meeting of this term. And this is item MM27/21, the end of term acknowledgements from Mayor Councillor John Faker. As this is the last meeting of the council term, it is important to reflect on the last 4 years and the incredible journey we have been on. From the failed mergers to a global pandemic, with a year added to the term and then the elections postponed, we have certainly experienced a mix of feelings, and it will probably take a while to fully understand the unprecedented events we have been through. But while our state, country, and the world we're going through challenging times, our council continued to connect with our communities and deliver large transformational projects and innovative support services. The work done via the Build Cares program, which is still ongoing, has been of tremendous value for our residents, particularly the most vulnerable. Our agility and our ability to work with partners at all levels has been recognised as best practice, and it's something we should be very proud of. The refurbishment and expansion of the library and new community hub and the relocation of the council building has created a seamless service point and exciting spaces for the community to explore. So too, the Enfield Aquatic Centre upgrades. It brought improved facilities and the ability to broaden programs. We have invested in livability, increasing the green canopy and addressing the urban heat map, rolling out an ambitious program of park upgrades, more outdoor exercise equipment, town centre and village beautification works, and a focus on public and community art through murals, street banners, and the establishment of the Build Art Prize. We created new community space where they didn't exist, such as Unity Place, which turned an unused lane into an amazing spot that will become a community's favourite once fully activated. We have also fostered our working relationships with federal and state governments, and we have been successful in obtaining large grants that enabled us to fast track much needed projects, such as the new multi-purpose courts at Grand Park. And these are just a few of our achievements. But nothing, of course, can happen without great teamwork, both at political and at an operational level. I want to formally thank all councillors who have been part of a historic term, dealing with situations that most definitely were not expected and that hopefully will not be experienced again. One of the great assets of Build Council is our ability to work collaboratively with no unnecessary political biases or personal attacks. Yes, we have different views on things at times, but ultimately, I know we all work with the benefit of our community in mind. It is always hard to predict the results of a local government election, but we already know that some of our good friends and colleagues will not be recontesting this round. And so for those who are recontesting, I would like to thank Councillor Heather Crichton and George Manner for their work and support. I wish you all the best and hope to be back on council with you next year. For those who are not contesting, I would like to thank Councillor Ernest Chan for his dedication and for the work he has done, particularly with our Multicultural Advisory Committee and with our community groups, both as councillors, as a councillor and as deputy mayor. Thanks to Councillor Raj Dixit for the lively exchanges over the last 4 years. While we might see things in different ways, we all know Raj has a deep respect for public service and for the importance of representing communities. And thanks to Councillor Joseph Del Duca for his support, despite a busy few years at professional and a personal level where he was growing his beautiful family. And lastly, but not least, a big thank you to Councillor Leslie Furneaux-Cook, who has announced her retirement from local government. Leslie has been a pillar of this council for 17 years, bringing passion and energy to the role, always promoting community engagement and good governance. Leslie and I started on council at the same time, and we have been through some interesting and challenging times together, not always in agreement, but always respectful of each other's views. Leslie has grown over the years into a senior representative of local government and is well respected across a vast number of groups and agencies, proudly flying the Build flag. It will be sad not having Leslie on council next term, but I know she will continue to be active in our community and in her professional endeavours, as well as being a wonderful mother and grandmother. I would also like to thank the staff for their efforts over the last 4 years, but particularly in the last two. During the COVID pandemic, it was clear that our council was providing essential services to our communities. And I commend our team's ability to continue work on the ground, as well as turning hundreds of programs to online delivery. A special thanks to the General Manager and the executive team. It has been a pleasure working with you and together setting an ambitious agenda for our council and our area. I look forward to a continued partnership in the future. And finally, I want to acknowledge and recognise our community, our residents, our businesses, churches, charities and community groups are engaging with us like never before. We have proud, smart individuals in Build who have a historical connection with our area, or that have chosen Build as the place where they want to grow a family, study, or start a business. They have shown tremendous resilience and innovative spirit in the face of adversity. We do what we do because of them, with them, and for them. In conclusion, I'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, and I look forward to an exciting 2022. Thank you. Well, I'll formally put the minute now. All those in favour? Those against? I declare that was carried unanimously. And I'll hand over to Councillor Furneaux-Cook for her notice of motion, which is item NM6/21, which is a vote of thanks from Councillor Furneaux-Cook.
Yes, with indulgence, I'll read this one as well. Sorry, it's a bit long. So as this is my last Berwick Council meeting after 17 years and four terms as a Berwick Councillor, I'd like to take this opportunity to offer a vote of thanks. Like many people, COVID has given me time to reassess my priorities, so I've decided to step away from elected life, not retire from local government, and pivot to a new adventure. I do feel lucky, though, as a politician, to call time on my own terms as this often isn't the case in our line of business. For those of you who don't know, I was actually a very reluctant councillor. Being part of a residents group who advocated on their behalf with varying degrees of success, we eventually decided that the best way to be heard was actually to have a seat at the table. Similar to many small parties like Independent Community Voice, and it was then Berwick Community Voice, it was the slowest to stand back that got the tap on the shoulder. And that was the case for me and my colleague, Teresa West. And back in that year, if you can remember, it was the Sydney Olympics and the start of the new millennium. I could never have imagined that I would be part of local government for such a long time, and not just as a councillor, but as a deputy mayor, as a mayor, and in the wider local government sphere as a director and a commissioner. That's the magic of local government. It just throws up so many surprises. Over nearly two decades of extraordinary events, Berwick Council has weathered the storm, including 9/11, the GFC, the ongoing climate change crisis, 7 prime ministers, 8 New South Wales premiers and counting, and of course, a 1-in-100-year pandemic. I've seen 5 general managers, an ICAC investigation, 2 failed attempts of amalgamation, sadly, the demise of our local press, continued rate capping and cost shifting, loss of most of our planning decision powers, 2 LEPs and another one on the way. I have also witnessed the much anticipated birth of Wonga Park, then Cheltenham Road Brick Pit, a new library and community hub, and not just one, but 2 new pools at Enfield Aquatic Centre, as well as so many other positives. Our administration has had a few location changes too, so I rather think it's fitting that I take my leave in this iconic heritage building that is the Civic Centre of Burwood and the very place of my very first council meeting. Being a councillor is not for the faint-hearted. Yet it is an incredibly rewarding job. I don't know of another that has just so many components. The responsibility to help shape a community and be that conduit between residents and council is unique. And I'm sure you all feel the same sense of duty that I have done. Prior to being on Berwick Council, I read about walkouts, about biffing some brown paper envelopes as well, verbal abuse, AVOs, large amounts of alcohol, and even a political assassination. Well, that has not been my experience. I have known 14 different councillors over my time in office and by and large worked well with all of them. I've come to respect them despite our political differences, and I hope that feeling was reciprocated. My fellow councillors from the class of 2017 are particularly fine examples of respectable debate. You give truth to the adage that leaders can disagree while not being disagreeable. It certainly makes for a better collaborative working environment. However, there has been one constant. One individual has travelled with me over those 4 terms, and that is the Mayor, Councillor John Faker. John and I began together as first timers, and we've both grown a few grey hairs since then. More than once or twice, we have been at the opposite ends of a debate. But I can honestly say, John, that we have worked well together, and I particularly appreciated your personal support during those life-changing events that I've experienced over the years. You're passionate about Burwood. You're an involved man. I think you know probably nearly everyone in the LGA. I don't consider this a divorce, as you've said before, but as a fond farewell, and I will miss our banter across the table. Oh, I've seemed to have lost my thing. Oh, it's been a pleasure to work with you all, and for those who are not recontesting, such good luck. That's actually a Downton Abbey quote, but anyway. I wish to thank our wonderful Berwick community. You have been involved, wonderfully noisy when needed, supportive, personable, and understanding when that magic wand doesn't work. Those who supported me at the ballot ballot box over 4 terms, and likewise those who didn't, I hope I have served you well. I cannot miss the chance to recognise my own little community, my children. They're a pretty resilient bunch, and I'm extremely proud of them. They've grown up with a parent in a political sphere, which, you know, is not easy, through the heartbreak of losing their dad 10 years ago, as well as being my support team during my treatment. So they've not just helped me handing out at polling stations, but also, more importantly, given me the emotional encouragement and support that is vital for anyone undertaking political office. And finally, I'd like to thank Burwood staff. Councillors often come to you with complaints when things aren't working. It's called TRIM. These are always accepted and acted on with no pushback or ill grace. Please know that councillors are keenly aware that those complaints are not representative of the commitment and hard work of Burwood Council staff. So much happens behind the scenes that residents and even councillors do not see. Councils represent a microcosm of a society with staff at its beating heart. They ensure our physical health through a care of our precious parks and gardens, keeping our roads safe, keeping us well through a myriad of amenities, and even saving us from drowning. They care for our social wellbeing by offering fantastic community programs, supporting our local businesses, creating inclusive culture, providing rich learning spaces, and connecting the disconnected. They help plan our built environment so that our chosen homes are fit for purpose, not just now, but into the future. And of course, make certain developers stick to the rules. I had to put that in. They create trust through good governance, transparency and accountability. And through strong financial stewardship, we are able to deliver on our promises, or most of the promises made to the community. All this is done with unfailing politeness to residents and visitors. Look, I'm always astounded as to why a person would want to become a council general manager. I think it's probably the toughest and riskiest occupation in local government. And I've worked with Tomas and Bruncesi since 2008, and I know that you were instrumental in rebuilding council after the 2010 ICAC findings, where I know some staff were actually ashamed to wear their Burwood uniforms in public. And you've built it up to be a proud workplace culture, something to be very proud of. You bring intelligence, a strong work ethic, clear vision, passion, and keen insights to the job, and Burwood is in capable hands. And you've brought together a wonderful team of directors, Brooke and Dylan and Fab and George and Patricia. What bright sparks. They and their staff demonstrate that local government can be the career of choice for those with exciting ideas and level heads. I'd also like to call out our long-term staff that have been with Burwood Council over my tenure and before. They all bring such a depth of corporate experience and profound knowledge of the community. And loyalty to an organisation is a rare commodity today and should always be valued. Lastly, to the executive support councillors over the years, just to name a few, Kayla and Vera and Melissa and Nahil. Wrangling 7 councillors who are working other jobs and juggling sometimes family commitments is no easy feat, and they have all done a magnificent job. To all Burwood Council staff, I deeply appreciate your hard work and dedication to the organisation, and I offer you my thanks. I know that there are challenges ahead, many the same as when I first started, and I'm not going to use this motion to reiterate them because you know what they are. But for what it's worth, I will leave some departing advice for the incoming term of council. Local government is often symbolised by the 3 R's: rose, rates and rubbish. And here is my take. Respect, recognise and represent. Respect each other's opinion. It really doesn't mean you have to agree. Recognise the hard work of staff. They don't get many plaudits from us. And represent the needs and aspirations of our community. You are their voice. So with both appreciation and sadness in equal measure, I ask my fellow councillors to support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fernow-Cook. So it was moved by Councillor Fernow-Cook and it was seconded by me for the record. Did you want to add anything else, Councillor?
Yeah.
Finally, I just want to say that was probably one of the best motions I've seen you deliver. And
what about the close of the Christmas lockdown?
But I think that was really touching to hear your words. It has been an absolute pleasure working with you. I'm disappointed you are not running again. So starting with you, it does feel like a bit of a separation, but it's not that. It's an amicable separation. But in saying that, it is sad. I've always loved having you here involved with us on council. I was talking to a candidate the other day who actually rang me, Ned Kutcher from the Greens, and we're having a talk, and I think he was a bit shocked and surprised by some of my responses to the fact that I actually really appreciate diversity. And I think when we first started on council, it was quite different. It was very political.
Mm.
And there was different times sort of that the council was at that time, and the community was very divided. Right. And one of the things I've come to appreciate and learn, and one of the things I've probably learned from yourself as well, is that, you know, it's important to listen to other people's opinions. And sometimes you might have a different take on that. But having diversity and difference of opinions really adds to the debate and adds to the ideas and adds to the organisation. And I could say to all of you that are here, and to Raj as well, you know, having that, I think, really represents our community. We can't talk about a community that's diverse and only have one side that sort of has a voice. You need a voice from that diverse community so the council can operate with the hard work of not just the councillors, but the team who are behind that, and the GM and the executive and all the staff. So thank you, Leslie. You will be missed. And it has been an absolute pleasure working with you. I wouldn't have changed anything over the last 17 years. And who knows, you know, local government has always had people come back. So we might see you back in 3 years.
Yeah, never know.
And the door is open, I could say that. So it'll be a pleasure to have you back if you decide to come back.
Thank you.
Do any other councillors wish to speak? Councillor Crine?
Thank you. Thank you.
That was in support of the motion.
Thank you. I just wish to add my voice to your notice of motion and to John's, the Mayor's sentiments. And I think it's really important that you've actually documented your big chapter here at Burwood Council. So thank you for that, Leslie. But thank you for your contribution over many years and for being the independent voice here in this chamber. Community politics can be a joy, but it can also be very hard. Local issues can either unite or divide us. So between the major parties, I think it is important to have a grassroots party like Independent Voice. I applaud you, Leslie, on being well organised and across community sentiments and issues, which have seen you succeed at the ballot box for over a remarkable 4 terms. That is a really big feat. I acknowledge too your elected roles with Local Government New South Wales and the board positions with Public Libraries Association and the Geographical Names Boards. They're just two that I'm aware of, but I'm sure there are many more. Burwood Council has benefited from your grassroots advocacy and from your passion for our heritage, the environment, planning, governance and policy. And personally, I've learnt so much from you. I thank you for your contribution here in what I consider is the most important tier of government. It's the one that people feel the most passionate about. It's their backyard. And for everything that you've done for our residents and the businesses of Burwood. Rightly so, you will always hold the position of Burwood's first female mayor, and that makes me very happy. So I thank you. I thank you for your leadership, and I really wish you every joy in the next chapter of your life, and I hope to see you around. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you, Councillor Crichton. Any other speakers? At your right of reply, Councillor. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. And just quickly before we go on, I'll just present you with some flowers. These are on behalf of counselors and staff. So we might move on to Councillor Crichton's notice of motion, which is 7/21, which has been moved by Councillor Crichton. I'll just get a seconder before we go on. It's been seconded by Councillor Fennell-Cook. Councillor Crichton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I won't read out my whole notice of motion, but the purpose behind my notice of motion is to connect the women of Burwood with their local breast screening facility, which is located up at Croydon Health Centre on Liverpool Road. COVID has been a really big disruptor in many aspects of life, as we all know all too well down here in Burwood, and women's health hasn't been excluded. I've been aware of this issue within culturally and linguistically diverse communities such as Burwood for several years now. I've often attended COASIT functions, and COASIT being the Italian Association, a peak body for Italian community associations, has for many years now run a project called 10,000 Italian Roses. And the 10,000 Italian Roses actually are the 10,000 older Italian women who have never come forward for a mammogram. With the complexity of COVID, women, myself included, are well out of timetable order. I sound like Bold Railway Station, but completely out of timetable order to step up and to receive their mammogram. And this was made even more complex by the disruption and then the closure of Breast Screen New South Wales services during the pandemic. So then the radiographers could go off and work in public hospitals. So last year in 2020, the Breast Screen caravan was actually down in Parnell Street at Strathfield, right on the border of Strathfield Council and Burwood Council. It was scheduled to be there for 4 weeks. It closed after a week due to COVID, and it's never returned. Meanwhile, up here at Croydon along Liverpool Road, I think that many of our Burwood women wouldn't even realise that service was there, let alone find their way there. And so I was very lucky on Kokoda Day, I was actually seated alongside Teresa Anderson, who's the CEO of for Sydney Local Health District, and I was talking to her about it, and she said that she would be willing to offer support to helping us connect the women of Burwood back with the breast screening facilities. So I could now move, actually, but when the council staff have a conversation with Breast Screen New South Wales and hopefully encourage them to return the caravan here to Burwood sometime next year, I think the placement of the van is actually really important. 5 years ago, it was based in Burwood Park. Perhaps that's too public, but I think being tucked away in the side street down near Strathfield Station could be too quiet. So I think if careful consideration could be given to the placement of the vehicle, that would go a long way to servicing the women of Burwood. Women who I've met out during campaigning, and I know I shouldn't talk about that, but I've come across a lot of women in the last few weeks in particular. And when I raise this issue with them, no one has stepped up to have their breast screened. And it could, early intervention is so important. It saved my mum's life. She was detected through a breast screen service with members from her golf club many years ago, and it really saved her life, although she did have a mastectomy. So it's near and dear to my heart. I think that this whole proposal fits really seamlessly in with our Burwood Cares program. And with that, I would now just like to move, if you'll bear with me. And I do note that the staff have also contacted Croydon Health Centre, but I would like to move that the Mayor writes to Dr. Teresa Anderson, CEO of Sydney Local Health District, calling for an urgent and full return of services to the Breast Screen New South Wales facility at Croydon Health Centre at 24 Liverpool Road, Croydon, that the return of the mobile Breast Screen New South Wales clinic to our local government area with a request for an extended stay, And two, that the correspondence be copied to the federal member for Reid and the state member for Strathfield. And I think we benefit from them both being women. And three, that the council partners with Breast Screen New South Wales, A, to ensure information about breast screening and the availability of local screening services is readily accessible to all women in our culturally and linguistically diverse community. And B, that information be available in a range of community languages and be added to our World Cares program. And four, that council communications support the promotion of our local breast Screen New South Wales facilities and services in Burwood. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Fennell-Cook, I'll just get you to put your mic on. Can I just get you to push it down just a little bit, Councillor?
Well, obviously, I'm very supportive of Councillor Crichton's motion. It actually did save my life, so it's a very personal thing. But I was aware that they actually did close and people haven't quite got back into the swing of things, as you were saying. Yes, I assume that they know where the demographic is that they need to target, whether that be, you know, is it geographically located? So Burwood Park is the one, or is it down near Henley Park? Etc. Or as you say, in Strathfield. So that, and obviously the Burwood Cares, which is going out, you know, quite regularly. That's a great opportunity, a media channel to use. So I think it's wonderful because there'll be other LGAs who will be saying the same thing. So it's fantastic that Council Crichton has put this forward.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speakers? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Next item is in general business, which is item 52/21, which is the end of term report of our mover. Been moved by Councillor Fennell-Cook, seconded by Councillor Chan. Wish to speak?
I'd just like to say, congratulations to Burwood Council and councillors and staff. You know, it has been a tough year, 2017. We had to swing into motion after what we thought was going to be a pretty big amalgamation. And then, of course, then we had COVID, which has really covered 2 years of this report. So that's a substantial amount of time that has impacted on the finances and the ability for us to deliver to the community. And I think staff have done a fantastic job in pulling some irons out of the fire.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speakers?
Thank you.
Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In reading through the end of term report, I can't help but note how far Council has travelled during these 4 years. So a new leadership team, new buildings, and importantly, new language. We now talk with great ease about community engagement, placemaking, inclusive play, wayfinding, public art, hoarding art, street banners, netball courts, grant applications, nighttime economy, growing our tree canopy, and importantly, to me, really importantly, Burwood Cares, just to name a few. It makes me proud to see how far together with everyone in this room we have all come. We've been led so ably by our mayor and fellow councillors with the great support of our general manager, Tommaso, and with the talents and expertise of our new leadership team and all the staff. So all working together, I think we've delivered some really great projects. And considering during half of this term, we've been faced with the pandemic. I would also just like to have a quick shout out to my neighbour, Raj Dixit, who I've sat alongside for 4 years. Thank you for your friendship and also thank you for your insights. They're always very interesting. I'd also like to just pay tribute to my other councillor, Ernest Chan, who I will dearly miss, and I wish you all the best, Ernest. Thank you. And to my team, our Labor team here, I really hope that we have listened and we have delivered. I think there's still so much work an opportunity ahead, and I hope that we continue to do good work. Many thanks.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speakers? Could I just finally echo the words of both Councillor Furneaux-Cook and Councillor Crine, but I'm not going to rehash what I spoke about in the Merrill Minute, but I just want to say a big thank you. I think it's been a really successful term in light of the bumps we've had along the way and the one in 100 year pandemic. But I just want to say a big thank you to Tommaso, who I've worked very closely with and who always has a great way of reining me in. Sometimes I get a bit crazy with ideas and get a bit anxious and too passionate. And to Fab, Dylan, Brooke and George, who do a tremendous job. I've been around in local government for 21 years. I can honestly say with hand on heart, this is, you know, being part of Build Council, this is the best leadership team that I've been a part of. And it's been, I could say, the best council that I've worked with in the sense that we've all been really focused on a shared vision of getting great outcomes for our community. While we've had different ideas, as I mentioned, with, you know, on certain things, we've always come together and worked well in getting an outcome. But to the staff who are really driving the work behind the scenes, Tommaso, who's leading that team, thank you. That's been an absolute pleasure. It's been a pleasure knowing you as people here in the, not just in the office environment, but having a joke and a laugh sometimes when I bump into you. But in saying that, I can very much tell and feel the sense of community in your work, the sense of wanting to do the right thing, the sense of honesty in your advice, the sense of integrity in your work, and the sense of your professionalism in that work that you do. It's, as Leslie said, it's very hard not to be annoyed sometimes by some of the emails or comments or phone calls we may get from residents. But I found the best way to deal with those is not to get angry and snap back, but to start a conversation. And they usually come around when you explain to them some of the, obstacles that local government face or some of the reasons why we can't just go and, you know, rip up a footpath or chop down a tree or, you know, kick their neighbour out of the house next door or put speed humps on every street in the local government municipality, that there's a process and there's work that goes behind the scene, and sometimes we can't give them the answer that they want, but we'll give them an answer. And I think they respect that. They learn to respect that. But that involves a lot of hard work, especially during COVID, you know, where, and can I say this, you know, with all my discussions with many residents over the last, especially the last month, and I've had a few, I can tell you, but even at, you know, sitting in the coffee shop, I think it was on Sunday morning, or, you know, I bumped into some residents who I didn't know, but there was three sort of middle-aged ladies that said hello and started talking. The feedback they gave back with regards to the information they received, and this is continuous, so I've been continually getting this from many residents. The feedback they gave back was the work that council did, for example, during COVID, the information that was shared. You know, I was at Westfields on Saturday with one lady who just came out from Westfields. I was out standing, just handing out at the front, and she purposely just came outside, or she must have been seeing a sign, just to say thank you, and said, like, she had been speaking to many of her friends and none of them had ever heard of any of their council providing local information on a daily basis. But many residents appreciate and know that, and these three ladies that I was talking to on Sunday,
I explained to them how our staff were actually out on Sundays, for those councillors that weren't aware, inspecting sites for testing clinics, inspecting sites for a possible vaccination hub, you know, time away from their families on a Sunday to prepare a place for our community to be tested or to be vaccinated, I think speaks volumes of the dedication of this team. And I think you deserve a big vote of gratitude and thanks. And a big thank you also to our community who answered the call to step up and get vaccinated. Because one of the things I realised, and I don't get political, I haven't been political in this chair for a long time, but one of the things I did notice, and I repeat to many of our residents, was the disappointing thing was the government didn't have a plan. And it didn't have a plan, and that's why it took us so long to get out of this lockdown. And hopefully we won't go there again. And, you know, it took the hard work of individuals like George and Brooke and Dylan and Fab, and led by Tommaso and the team that were meeting with the RSL, going to Morella Street car park, meeting with Westfields, you know, on their Sunday, on their family days, to arrange for us to be prepared. So a big thank you to you. And the community is very appreciative of that. And they know that, and many of them now appreciate the work that the council does behind the scenes. Might have taken a pandemic for them to see some of that work, but it very much hasn't gone unnoticed. So a big thank you to you all. And if I am re-elected again in December, very much look forward to continuing to work with you. And I hope you continue to make build part of your lives in working here, and that we don't lose you. Because I know there are rotational changes in local government, especially at GM and executive levels and director levels from time to time. But I hope that you know that you're very much appreciated here as part of this team, and that we can continue to work with you. Thank you. Councillor Fernay-Cook, your right of reply. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Sorry, just before we do that, did you want to add anything to my... Yeah, Tomas. Well, this is the last meeting, so we can be a bit out of school. Look, I might just hand over to the general manager to ask him a question if he would like to add anything.
Thank you, Mr. just along with what I thank the mayor and the councillors, obviously, for your guidance, your leadership and trust. I think one thing my team tells me all the time, and, you know, being relatively new and having experience at other council, is that we do feel empowered. And I think the key word the mayor uses all the time, and I use the same, is partnership. So I feel like we have found a great model, a great operating model for us to work together. And I truly hope that we can continue this next year. On behalf of my team and the staff, of course, we wish all the best to the councillors that are not recontesting, Raj, Joseph and Ernest. Thank you for your help. And particularly to Leslie, of course. Personally, a big thank you for your guidance, patience and sense of humour. Leslie is probably one of the few people that gets my sense of humour, so that's a big recognition there. And obviously, George, Heather and John. We look forward to working with you again from after the elections, I guess. So thank you all.
And just a final question, Tommaso. So what's the secret for reining in the mayor when he has crazy ideas? No, that's a joke. Councillor Fernay-Cook. Councillor Fernay-Cook. Okay, we'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Item 98/21, which is the community grant program review and recommended improvements for 2021-2022. You've noticed that it's had a bit of an increase for 1 year because of the COVID pandemic. Is there any, do I have a mover first? Been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Crichton.
I just have a question.
Yeah, Councillor Crichton. Councillor Fernay-Cook, you have a question?
What is the impact, does the staff think about our community grants program, given the next item about our financials as well?
Tommaso?
I might ask Brooke to answer.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, in terms of the impact, so we already had $40,000 allocated in our existing approved budget, and we're accessing a budget titled Corporate Projects Budget, which has unallocated funds within it. So we're acting in accordance with our approved budget. The only variance is that $15,000. I think the important thing to highlight is we've undertaken quite an extensive consultation process with the community organisations. It won't be just about council's funds in terms of supporting community orgs to recover, but a lot of the recommendations and actions coming out of this review are also about us skilling up the community sector to apply for grants that go beyond what council can provide and that can improve how community organisations access state and federal funding, because a lot of organisations haven't even applied for our grants, let alone other levels of government that have much more funding. So we will be investing in training and education for community organisations. We'll do that within our approved budget. Overall, it's $15,000 difference to what we'd already included in the approved budget.
Could you just highlight some big titles about what were the main things that are different from this from our usual? I mean, as in eligibility to seek a grant, is that changed? What are the top four headlines?
Yep. Through you, Mr. Mayor. So the eligibility hasn't changed. We've actually just tightened some of the things that were already in the existing application form. For example, we've always requested an ABN. We've always requested that the organisations be not-for-profit incorporated associations. So no changes around eligibility. Key changes relate to we had very broad and very narrow focus funding priorities previously that really just focused on welfare and social support. What we're trying to do is open up the funding priorities to look at those areas that the organisations are working on to support organisations to recover from COVID, including groups like sporting groups that we've not historically had a strong tradition of funding. We've tended to fund direct welfare service providers. So we've expanded the scope and we've really updated, I suppose, the funding priorities to reflect where participation is occurring across the community and open it up to invite other types of projects that we may not have funded. So that's really, in essence, it's those funding priorities that we've opened up a little bit. And we've also, the other key highlight is we've never had a funding cap. So we've always had a funding pool available, but the funding cap, we've just said apply for what you would like. We've not said grants of up to 5,000, which is what we've done now. The reason for that is organisations spend a lot of time and sometimes they put in applications for $12,000 to $20,000 and our funding pool is traditionally only $40,000. We then award a partial grant and that can impact an organisation's capacity to deliver on that grant because we're giving them a proportion of what they actually need. So instead of saying, you know, it's open for whatever you'd like to apply for, we're bringing in that funding cap to make it more realistic and organisations then can put forward realistic applications that we can fund in full rather than bits and pieces of others. So they're pretty much the key highlights and key changes, and that's been based upon the feedback we've heard directly from organisations themselves. There are other operational improvements, such as improving the online application process. We would still have hard copies available, but just some other very operational improvements that we're proposing, as well as the information sessions and actual grant writing training for organisations, which we hope will serve them far beyond this grant process and help with other ones. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Brooke. Any other questions? Put the motion. All those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Next item is the adoption of the revised Agency Information Guide, which is the Government Information Act of 2009, which is item 99/21. Do I have a mover? Been moved by Councillor Farrar-Cook, seconded by Councillor Chan. Speakers?
I just have one Councillor. Question. Just regarding with the DAs on page 65, were we not, wasn't there a resolution or an intent that DAs were going to, because of the demise of local press, we were going to advertise the major DAs in our media channels? I'm just wondering where that's gone to.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor, I believe we in through our regular e-news, there is a section dedicated to, I think, plans and documents on public exhibition. And I believe there's always a section for DAs there. Incorrect. Tanya, you want to add anything to that? We can confirm that and provide a response if you want.
Questions? Can we just check if that's happening? Because I think it's still important that we should have. Dylan, did you want to add anything? No? Any other question? We'll double check that as well, Councillor, make sure. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Code of Conduct Complaint Statistics for 2021, item 121/21. Did we have any Code of Conduct Complaint? Zero. Okay. So we moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Chan. Speakers, for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 101/21, which is the budget review, moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Manor. Questions?
Yeah, just have it through, Mr. Mayor. Just, I note that we've got a forecast, three questions, a forecast funding deficit of $3 million, and I know we're going to draw on this Burwood continuity reserve. How long can we draw on that reserve for is my first question. And what are the anticipated, part B of that one question, what are the anticipated income once, you know, COVID starts to will become the new normal?
Tomaso?
I might ask Wayne, our CFO, to answer maybe the first part, and then I'll probably attempt to give a prediction on the recovery phase.
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Just speak up if you can, please, Wayne.
Oh, sorry. Is that better? Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. There's $2.5 million from our reserve, which was set aside from last year. So leaves us $500,000, and in the rest of it, after the $500,000, we'll end up with, just a second, I'll let you know, we'll end up with about $1.5 million after that to be able to draw on. So hopefully we'll be looking at business as usual in the new calendar year and going forward. Over to you.
So just on that, sorry, Wayne, while we have you, is so when does council envisage you could replenish those funds back into that fund?
Well, that all depends on how the economy goes and how quickly we can recoup, get back to normal, as in normal would be the EAC being open full time to capacity, parking meter, people coming back to work in the town centre and area and the local government area, and the reliance on parking income in general, because they're the major three that are really affecting our income stream.
Okay, I might
also hand over to Tommaso.
Yeah, just add in a bit of context also that whilst we've created this business continuity reserve specific to do with the pandemic, obviously we're drawing from reserves. Our situation is still a fairly healthy situation. We're obviously drawing on a fairly healthy and sustainable position that we had before and we still have. I mean, if you look at page 95, that's sort of our position. The reserves are still fairly healthy. There's some external restrictions, obviously, in relation to all the contributions that are obviously connected to our plans, but there's also some that where we have some flexibility at internal level to move funds around. Having said that, I keep saying the same thing, and that is that what we've seen in sort of November 2020 to the first few months of this year is that Sydney, but particularly Burwood, when the recovery started, our lines and graphs went up very rapidly. And so we are confident that sort of between now and Christmas we'll see a marked improvement, and then certainly into 2022, the early parts of 2022 will be a healthy situation. We are hopeful, of course, that we're not going to have any further lockdowns or back into a pandemic situation. That will be different, probably require some harder decisions, but so far I think we've managed to deal with situations in an appropriate way.
Just two more questions.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we've been very lucky with grants, I think, too. That's been very helpful. Just with Ilse Street, what is the situation with any leasing opportunities with that? And I have two other questions.
I might ask Fab to answer that one.
Thank you, Councillor. Through you, Mr. Mayor. The Ilse Street property is currently being arranged for marketing. We've already had a few parties go through. There's an element of establishing, if you like, the new market rules post-pandemic. As you can imagine, the real estate market for commercial properties has been thrown around, and it's one of those items that Tommaso was referring to that we would expect to improve fairly quickly now. The property is being marketed as we speak, there's hope there that we're going to, if not the entire floor space, we will look to have some tenants in there as soon as possible.
Can I just get you to turn that mic off?
And just on page 90, the $902,000 towards the installation of public art within Parramatta Road, and that's nearly $1 million. Was that did we spend that, or is that a money that we got?
Grant funding.
Grant funding. I can't remember the exact title.
Yeah. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'll just quickly clarify that $902,000 we received from state government as part of the Parramatta Road Urban Activation Precinct. PRUAP is the acronym, but we received $902,000 for public art projects. So we will then have to, we're in the process of expending that money. Yeah.
Do you want to just give a quick list of the projects it will involve? So I'm not sure if the councillors...
Sure. So the project that is currently being installed and underway right now is throughout Wongle Park. We have engaged two Aboriginal artists who are, it's been out on consultation and they're actually implementing on site today. So Wongle Park is a key project, and there'll be, a series of Aboriginal artworks that reflect the seasons and the seasonal change in that place, integrated throughout that site. There's also another project that's out on consultation at the moment is a retaining wall within Burwood Park. It's a small scale project, but you'll see that out on our Participate Burwood site, and that will link in with the new proposed play area that's also in consultation in Burwood Park. Another one is a proposed art seat, and I'll just explain what that will provide is a large-scale outdoor infrastructure, an outdoor art gallery, in essence, at the corner of Burwood Park, opposite Westfield. That's a large-scale project, and all of these projects are about connecting from Parramatta Road through along cycleway links and places where people might sit and rest when they're experiencing the Parramatta Road corridor. We have another project, Luke Avenue. There's a
But can I just confirm that's not sort of opposite Westfield, it's the other...
It's the other Comer. Corner. Yeah. Yes, Comer and Burwood. We have a project, there's the Burwood Bus Depot, which is, they've got a large scale brick wall. Many of you may pass it as you go along the Parramatta Road corridor. We're in the process of hopefully very soon being able to access that wall to create a large mural artwork that thousands of people will pass by every day on Parramatta Road. And we're about to, as soon as we get the permission with that site, we're just negotiating at the moment, we'll be creating a large artwork there. And the story, so look, with all of these projects, yeah, we are trying to link to local stories, and the Parramatta Road corridor has an art strategy that's been developed by Create New South Wales, and there's various themes that we're linking to. But one of the key stories that we're looking to explore for the Burwood Bus Depot is that was the first sight of the first female bus driver in Sydney, who at the time, that person is still alive, and we're seeking permission from that person to capture and celebrate their story. But it was at a time where women weren't allowed to be bus drivers. They were collected tickets. The bus driver had a cardiac arrest, and she took the wheel on that day. And after that time, she was, I think there was a realization that women could be bus drivers too. So after that time, she was appointed as a bus driver. And so there's stories like that that we're seeking to celebrate through these public artworks. The Burwood Park artwork that we're doing at the moment, if you have a look, we've got some portraits of some young girls that live in Burwood that have agreed for, you know, to be painted as part of that and linking in with the environment. So I think one of the key things is that we've received all of that money from state government. So that's $902,000 in investment in public art that we would have otherwise not been able to do that many projects. And there's one more project, which is a partnership with City of Canada Bay, which is the overbridge that connects between the City of Canada Bay. It's a pedestrian footbridge. Just near, and so that also is a partnership project we'll do with the City of Canada Bay and applying artwork to that that bridge. So all of these projects are set for, we've got delivery timeframes, they're not all being delivered all at once. Wongle Park and Burwood Park are happening now, but there's a two-year delivery timeframe for that $902,000, which... Yeah.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, is this lady, what time when she was a driver or something?
Councillor Dixon, I would have to look up exactly the year. I'd be happy to send it through.
And was she a resident of Burwood or any idea?
I don't know. She worked at the Burwood Bus Depot.
It could be a great story for our 125th anniversary.
You could put
into a documentary or something. Anyway,
yep. Yep, good point. And you had another question, Councillor Farrakhan.
The last one, just with the temporary staff, does the GM see that expenditure will be reduced or for those positions filled?
Yes, thank you for that question, Councillor. Yes, we are in the process of finalising our second stage of our structure review. So we envision that in the early parts of 2022, we will consolidate our final structure, and that will involve recruitment of positions on a permanent basis. So we should see that amount reduced drastically in 2022.
Any other questions? And that was moved by Councillor Chan and seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers, for and against, put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 102/21, which is the investment report as at the 31st of October 2021. It's been moved by Councillor Fernow-Cook, seconded by Councillor Chan. Questions? Speakers, for and against, put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. And then we've got information items, which is item IN/28/21, which is petitions on 105, 29/21, which is the Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee, which is an annual report for 2021 on page 106. We've also got an information item of 30/21, which is the Safe and Clean Team. And they've just given us a performance report from January to September, and also the answers to questions without notice on page 129, which is item 31/21. There being no further business.
Through you, Mr. Meng, just one question. It's not a question without notice.
Yep.
It's just in regards to, I found out yesterday.
Oh, Dennis Betts.
Yeah, I found out that former Councillor Dennis Bennett passed away yesterday. He served on council for, I think, approximately 16 years during the 70s and the 80s. So just to recognise his service to the community.
I was going to do a Merrill Minute, but I didn't have enough information because I just found out just like half an hour before I came in, I got a resident that emailed me. But I've spoken to Tommaso and they're arranging flowers on behalf of the councillors, the mayor and councillors and the staff. Or the council, I believe. I might do something in the next term when we get some. Do you know some sort of detailed information we can put together? Or no, it's hard. I rang his son to pay my condolences. So we might do something in the next term where we might be able to acknowledge him formally. Okay, thanks, councillors. Thank you, staff. And just finally, I want to thank also our governance team, Tanya and Michelle, who work quietly there behind the scenes and tick boxes on these computers in front of me and try to mute me sometimes. And I unmute them. We have a bit of a fight, tug of war. Mute, unmute. No, I'm taking you off. You're taking me off. But thanks for your hard work and for all the work you do with governance, which is tough. It just seems to be getting more and more. And it gets more complicated and confusing. But thank you for that. We very much appreciate it. And the work that goes behind the scenes in setting up for council meetings and to also our IT support staff who do a great job in trying to make all the IT stuff work, especially with IT. It's a bit moody sometimes and doesn't want to work or gets a bit lazy. But anyway, I think we try to do the best we can in streaming our meetings now, especially in the COVID environment, but especially in the environment, I guess, where now people are staying home and don't come to council meetings like when we first started, when we used to have full galleries and people wanting to speak. And so it gets a bit lonely sometimes, but anyway, it's good and it's working well. So thank you again and to our governance team and to all the councillors, all the best. Have a Merry Christmas. And a safe one. If I don't see you before then, I'm sure I probably will see most of you. And thanks again for your service. We'll call it a close at 7:09 p.m. Thank you.